It's 7:30 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Director Ed Herendeen says the plays presented at this year's Contemporary Theater Festival reflect the kind of subjects people are talking about.
You know, these writers wrote within the last year. And so, you know, certain issues like religion, like faith, like belief, ideology, you'll see those same things because they're in the air, they're in the news, they're on TV, they're in our newspapers.
The festival opens today at Shepherd University. Two major retailers in West Virginia announced this week they will no longer be selling some over-the-counter cold medications in their stores. CVS Pharmacies stops selling single-ingredient pseudoephedrine medicines in late June, and Walgreens intends to follow suit. Senator Greg Tucker of Nicholas County sponsored legislation this year intended to curb the meth problem by making pseudoephedrine, meth's main ingredient, available only by a doctor's prescription. The bill, however, died in the final hours of the session. Tucker sat down with Ashton Mara to discuss the actions the business community has taken.
Let's go back to the reasons that we even looked at restricting the way that people get pseudoephedrine in response to the meth lab problem. What's that correlation?
Well, obviously, pseudoephedrine is a key ingredient in the making of meth. It didn't seem to me like, at least in my area, the Implex system was working. The number of meth labs continued to rise. In fact, I think it continues to rise. So I just felt that it was my responsibility to do, as a state senator, to try to do something, because in addition to the loss that we're suffering, you know, just for people's lives and children's lives, it's a huge economic burden on the state of West Virginia.
So we weren't able to do it legislatively, and now a business itself has voluntarily stepped up and said, we're not going to sell this anymore.
I think businesses have stepped up, and I was very pleased to see CVS. I understand that Walgreens is looking to do the same thing. I think they've realized their responsibility and their role in solving this problem, and I think they're taking steps to do that. Is it going to be enough? Time will tell. But, you know, during the session, we heard several times that this is not a West Virginia problem. It is absolutely a West Virginia problem, and I hope that what CVS and some of these other retailers are doing is going to help curb the problem.
So from what I can tell this week is that CVS, and I hate to say felt pressured, because their official word is that they had conversations with Senator Manchin. Walgreens has also said they've had conversations with Senator Manchin. It appears that he has stepped in and put himself into this situation and said, this is my home state, this is a problem, and we need to fix it. Is that how you see it?
That's how I see it. I wish he had done it a few months ago and gotten active, and maybe that would have turned the tide. But, you know, he represents the same area as I do, and he's recognized that it's a state of West Virginia problem, and I'm pleased to see that he's taken an active role in that. For whatever reason that CVS took the steps that they took, I'm just pleased that it happened.
We've tried on the state level. It obviously didn't make it through. Is it time to put pressure at the federal level for them to do something?
Well, part of the pushback that I heard as we were working the House members the last night to try to get the bill passed was that, you know, you can cross the border and just about anywhere and buy it, so that's going to hurt the local retailers and people who are across state lines. So I believe, and I understand that, I really do, and I respect that position. But I think it is a national problem, and it's going to continue to grow, and I think Congress probably needs to address it.
What is the best way for them to address it? Is it prescription only? Is it a limit of how much you can buy? What do you think is the best way?
I think it's probably a combination of a limit on how much you can buy before you have to have a prescription. That may be the middle ground that people can accept.
So where do we go moving forward, specifically in West Virginia? Do we try again?
Well, I'm willing to wait to see how this, you know, the actions that they've taken is going to work. And if it works, maybe it's something we need to try for a while and focus on another problem. Heroin's getting to be a huge problem in our state, and maybe we need to figure out a way to stop that.
So maybe the business community has handled this on their own.
And if that's the case, then I'm perfectly happy with that. Okay. And I hated to take the steps and limit the amount that the legitimate users could get, because those are the people who would suffer from the bill. But I felt that the costs far outweighed the negative impact to them, especially given that we have tamper-resistant drugs now.
Senator Greg Tucker from Nicholas County, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Marshall University professor Vincent Sollers recently received a nearly $500,000 grant from the National Cancer Institute for his unique cancer research. It involves something called canalization. Clark Davis visited his lab and explains.
Dr. Sollers is an associate professor in the Marshall University School of Medicine. He's taking an unusual approach to find better treatments for cancer.
Well, in the end, what we're looking at is making life better for people that have this deadly disease. That's the main reason I became a scientist.
The idea of canalization is that cells develop and mature as they become different things.
As they develop, they start as very immature cells that look like each other, and then they mature. So that process is structured, and they're kind of pushed along a certain direction like a canal pushes water.
And he says when that canalization does not work appropriately, that is when cancer cells develop. Sollers is examining why some of those cells do not follow the path and end up becoming cancerous. Sollers says that some of the cells will stop listening and cooperating with neighboring cells. That communication with the other cells is necessary for the complex mix that becomes the different cells in our body. When the cells do not listen, bad things happen.
Loss of this canalization is a force that will allow those cells that are normal to become cancerous. If we understand how that occurs, we can develop new chemotherapies. If it is truly a force that helps a cancer cell progress, we can put brakes on that force.
Sollers and a team of student researchers will test the role of canalization in the maturing process of cells and cancer development in mice. They will target leukemia specifically with this grant, but the results can apply to all cancer types. Sollers says most often with cancer research, the examination is of the genes that mutate and become cancerous. His work differs because it looks at the process those individual cells are taking in becoming a normal part of the body or cancer down the road.
What I'm doing is understanding not a particular gene, but a process. So how do cells bring about the changes in these genes? Not the specific genes themselves, but the process. And so this is a fundamental process, is my theory, that most cancers use to progress.
Sollers says ultimately the hope is that if his hypothesis can be proved true, a certain type of chemotherapy could be used in conjunction with the already occurring treatment of leukemia. He says oftentimes the initial treatment of leukemia will seem successful, putting the cancer into remission. But often he says cancer cells will be hiding and growing without the knowledge of the doctor until it's too late. The National Cancer Institute recently awarded him $432,000 to continue his research on canalization. The grant is designed to give students practical opportunities in the research. Sollers hopes to hire 8 undergraduate and graduate students, along with a full-time technician. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:38. Dense fog this morning, becoming mostly sunny today. There's a chance of rain and thunderstorms in the eastern counties. Temperatures in the 80s to near 90 degrees today, mostly clear overnight with lows in the 50s and 60s. Mostly sunny on Saturday, highs in the 80s, partly sunny with a chance of rain and thunderstorms on Sunday.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by the High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont, online at wvhtf.org.
Starting today in Shepherdstown, theater lovers will be able to explore such topics of the day as how the country treats its veterans, artificial intelligence, and the ethics of assisted suicide. Cecilia Mason has this preview of this year's theater festival at Shepherd University.
The lineup for the 24th season of the Contemporary American Theater Festival features a play by Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Charles Fuller that focuses on sexual assault in the U.S. military. One Night is about two Iraq War veterans who are staying in a seedy hotel trying to make sense of life after the military. Fuller began writing the play in 2008, and as he wrote, he kept track of the Defense Department's sexual assault reports.
And they kept going up. And I thought, my goodness, this is something that no one is talking about. I hadn't heard about it. You know, then I started looking, digging. And I found that lots of women and men as well have been sexually assaulted in the military, in all the branches of the military, the Marines, the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force, as well as the academies. I think it's a difficult story to tell, really.
Fuller injects a lot of realism into the play based on interviews he's done with veterans who have been victims of sexual assault.
When I look at the people I met, at least, all women who really had a tough time with this, really a tough, tough time, and are not being treated well. The whole flap about the VA recently is a good example of what is happening to veterans. But the sad part about that is it's the way it's given to us is that all the people are men and not women. And that's just totally crazy. Insane. So, I mean, yes, it's an attempt to do what I think is hard to do. And that's make reality represented on the stage.
Fuller is an Army veteran, and this is not the first play he's written that focuses on the military. In 1982, he won the Pulitzer for A Soldier's Play, a story set in 1944 that deals with murder and race. The play was made into a movie called A Soldier's Story. Fuller says military and civilian life are very different, and he hopes his work will help those who have not served to gain a better understanding of those who have. And he hopes it helps push the public and policymakers to do more for veterans.
There's a line in the play that says, "Why am I a hero if I die and a nuisance if I live?" And that has been the history of veterans in this country since its beginning. People came home from the Civil War with PTSD. I mean, they were called nuts. Shell-shocked in the Second World War. I mean, all sorts of things. And while we really praise them while they're dying, once they come home, we tend to lose interest in them. And that's the worst part of it.
In addition to One Night, the theater festival is offering four other plays this season: Uncanny Valley, North of the Boulevard, Dead and Breathing, and The Ashes Under Gate City. Each play focuses on a concern or ethical issue of our time. CATF producing director Ed Herendeen says he doesn't choose plays with any particular theme in mind, but sometimes, as in the case of this season, themes emerge.
You know, there's a lot of questioning about ethics and morality, a lot of questioning about betrayal, you know, specifically in the case of One Night. You know, has the United States military betrayed the very people that serve the military? You know, so some very serious issues. As always, you know, it's a play, the season's about relationships too, you know, and the complexity of human relationships and the complexities of trying to navigate human relationships in very troubling, sometimes unique circumstances like the war.
Now, you mentioned that the plays are not chosen based on a theme, but it seems this season, like many others, they are part of our national conversation.
You know, that's great because, you know, these writers wrote within the last year. And so, you know, certain issues like religion, like faith, like belief, ideology, you'll see those same things because they're in the air, they're in the news, they're on TV, they're in our newspapers. These writers are responding to the stories that they're hearing in America, and that's one of the, I think, great things about contemporary, is that these stories are about the present world that we're living in.
The Contemporary American Theater Festival runs through August 3rd. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Cecilia Mason in Shepherdstown.
On their website, the Bottle Rockets call themselves the best band on the planet. Well, you can decide for yourself this morning. The Bottle Rockets perform Big Lots of Love on this mountain stage, Song of the Week.
Sometimes it's a cruise. We both still want to be together. So all of it's good news. All of it's good news. A little upset and aggravation. Respect and jubilation, a little attention, little distraction, little can't get no satisfaction, little bit nothing else we'd rather do. Adds up to big lots of love.
Bottle Rockets with Big Lots of Love. You can hear this song again and more music Saturday night at 8 on Mountain Stage, right here on West Virginia Public Radio. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at WV Public News and find us on Facebook. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. West Virginia Morning is produced with the assistance of Cecilia Mason, Suzanne Higgins, Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Glennis Board, Dave Mistich, and Ashton Mara. Our theme music is by Matt Jackford. Our producer is Cecilia Mason. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.